How would you like to build a philanthropic foundation that impacts tens of thousands of people or more? In today's episode, Chris Auditore Zimmerman will tell us how to do this. And what's so special about Chris is that he's a seasoned entrepreneur, global investor, and keynote speaker with over 25 years of experience. And he has founded more than 20 companies across 5 countries, authored Get Your House in Order, and From Success to Significance, and co-founded the Medici Community. And Chris empowers entrepreneurs to harness the timeless principles of the Medici legacy to build lasting success and impact. So, Chris, tell us about how can entrepreneurs build a foundation that impacts tens of thousands of people or more?
Welcome to Awakened Titans Podcast with Lily Patrescu. Mind-blowing conversations with influential business titans sharing how you can manifest abundance, love, joy, success through quantum awakening, quantum manifestation, quantum healing, quantum miracles, exponential business growth, and innovative products and services.
Yes, so first of all, it's a great honor to be here on your podcast here, Lily. Very happy to speak about on the topic. So you know, when we come from the business environment, oftentimes we talk about foundations kind of as a way to avoid some taxes. If you have an exit, you sell a company, you sell a business, you sell some real estate, or you inherit a lot of money, then lots of people put money into a foundation to avoid taxes, which, by the way, is a great thing to do. So if you haven't checked that out, you know, this is actually a good advice. But beyond just saving taxes, obviously, we have a lot of issues around the world where we need some philanthropic engagement, when we need families and entrepreneurs who really think way beyond just themselves and, let's say, their own little family on some of the impactful stuff. And foundations are a wonderful way to do that.
Thank you. So tell us about your foundation and what is the purpose beyond this foundation?
So we have been involved as a family for many years in philanthropy. We have a Christian background as a family. My grandparents worked in Africa with schools and with orphanages and churches and did lots of mission work. So in a sense, it's kind of a personal family background. I grew up in Frankfurt, Germany. But as a young child, teenager, I would often go to South Africa where my grandparents lived. But from there, we would explore kind of the continent. And so I was always exposed to, let's say, poverty, but then also some solutions that kind of help people who are less fortunate than we are. So for me, that was, let's say, a great joy to be so meaningfully engaged in people's lives. And so specifically when it comes to education, we as a family have always felt very strongly that one of the big solutions to help societies, villages, countries is actually to invest into education. And one impactful story is how my grandfather actually started or helped start some schools in the DRC in the Congo. And and a few years ago, I wanted to see kind of what our family started, and I flew down there and I was very much impacted. So long story, I came back and I started kind of mobilizing resources and people and started supporting on another level. It's just one of the projects, but I would say philanthropy should always be kind of closely connected to your heart and passion. And so I'm an entrepreneur, I'm a business guy, I've always been creating companies and I've always been, you know, wired in a sense to work on success. But at some point, you kind of feel like beyond success, you know, we should be working on something that is significant and impactful in the world.
Thank you. So tell us about some of the projects that you've done and what kind of impact has it had already in terms of like numbers? How many people has it already impacted and in what way? How have you noticed the impact created in people? Like what are they now doing as a result of the perhaps the education that they have received through your projects? Are you noticing that they are more economically empowered or what has the community done? And how have they been able to kind of move ahead in life as a result of your impactful work?
Yeah, so in you know, because I just mentioned the DRC, we sponsored and help kind of put together a number of schools, the school buildings, and then, you know, beyond that, kind of kickstarting, let's say, the educational system there. So the DRC is one of the poorest countries in the world. So if you look on the world economic spectrum, kind of on what are the poor countries, the DRC is terribly low. We started in a city called Goma, which is on the northeastern side of the country, bordering Rwanda. Rwanda is was struck with a genocide a few years ago. There were lots of refugees kind of sweeping over to Goma as a place of refuge. Now, my grandfather 40 years ago started a school there. Basically, it wasn't him starting it. We're kind of supporting, you know, kind of some of the endeavors of the local people there. And then it kind of just increased. And now, by now, there are thousands of kids in school. Is our family names on top of it, which we didn't want. It's not about our family name or something. But I've taken probably 150 people from Germany, from Europe, with me to Africa to kind of help, you know, teach some courses there in school, you know, put up some water tanks, renovate some buildings. And there are by now thousands and thousands of kids in school in different areas. More specifically, the last few years, we've worked on a hospital project. So the DRC is also, you know, has a terrible health infrastructure. And we started networking with some medical organizations to kind of help provide surgeries and develop a teaching hospital for local doctors to be trained and taught. And so, yeah, so these are just some of the ways. Now, this is Africa. I've also been involved in lots of, let's say, works in Germany and here in Europe. And so, you know, lots more to talk about. But I think what is interesting really is here's how I would put it, is if you're an entrepreneur, if you're skilled in building things up, you know, as entrepreneurs, we're builders. We love to build and create. Now, lots of nonprofits actually need our energy and our ideas and our vision and our way of structuring things, as well as our money. And so I actually believe that we as entrepreneurs should be using our skill set, not just to make money, but also to see how we solve some of the biggest problems we have in the world.
Thank you. Tell us about what is your driver for helping so many people? Because in my case, I find that there's this concept called infinite giving, where you help a number of people and then you actually benefit from that as well. And what I mean by benefit is you become a better person because you become more compassionate. You perhaps notice how your own problems are a lot smaller than other people have, you know, and you become almost like more introspective. You realize, wow, I could be doing, you become more of a problem solver. Even in situations that you have in your business, you become a better business person. And also, I believe in the power of karma that is kind of derived from this concept of infinite giving, where you help certain people. And then because you did that, you are at another point, 5 years down the line, in another situation, when you are in a very sticky situation, maybe you need a loan, maybe you need to build a $100 million property, and then the money comes from nowhere. And then the investors for that kind of deal kind of come from nowhere, and it appears that you're just lucky. But I believe you're not just lucky, you are building that through this infinite giving, through thinking more than yourself. So I wonder, what's your opinion about that? Like, what's your driver for creating such an impactful foundation?
Lily, I think you're putting it in very nice words here. And so, you know, there's a saying in the Bible which says it's more blessed to give than to receive. And I've just come to see that as true. I try to live my life as a giver, not as a receiver. And we can talk about that, how that is good in business. I really believe if you're there to serve your customers and to provide great products and good customer service and to your team give good leadership and create a culture where people love to work, I think when you as the entrepreneur and as the business owner are giving, you know, that comes back a hundredfold, you know, with people, you know, opening up, being joyful, but then also, you know, better sales, better, you know, customer retention and so forth. So I've seen this in business. Now, in my personal life, in my family, so I've been married for almost 25 years. We've got three sons here at home. We try to be a family where we give, you know, we don't just take, you know, there. I always feel like there are a lot of ways on how, you know, energy can be sucked out of us. But if we, you know, if we give, you know, it's if we actually receive. And then in philanthropy, the best checks I write is when I give money away. It brings me so much joy.
Thank you. Tell us about how can someone get involved in building a foundation that impacts tens of thousands of people if perhaps they are not in a place where they can give anything? Is it that they start small, like, for example, supporting in a small way, a foundation like yours? Or what can they do to make this happen? Is there a certain point that you believe, okay, people should be making at least $1 million to be able to build a foundation that impacts thousands of people? Or do you think, actually, no, you can start really small and build big based on your own capacity. And it's important to kind of build that almost like a muscle that you do.
Yeah, I think that definitely it's not first of all a numbers game. It's first of all a posture of your heart, and that is, if you know, if giving comes out of the heart, you know, before it comes out of your pocket, you need to not just feel as an obligation, but really as something that you take joy in. I remember when my wife and I got married, we were 20 years old, so almost like kids, barely out of school, and our things were very tight for us, money wise, because we didn't want to rely on our parents' support. We wanted to kind of do our own little thing here, and we decided to give a minimum of 10% of our income, so to speak, away for charity and non-profit work. Now, for us back then, that was a big decision. But you know, again, I would say it was the greatest joy to start with something. So now you can increase it over the course of your life and give more money. But if you cannot give away, let's say, 100 euros when you make €1,000, then it will also be difficult for you to give, or even more difficult when you have to give €1 million away when you make 10 million. So I think, as you already mentioned, it is a muscle that kind of grows on you.
Thank you. How would you say that building a foundation has it impacted your business? Like, have you noticed that people are happier working for you? Have you noticed that you feel more appreciated? Have you noticed that people are feeling more motivated to actually come to work? Or have you noticed other things besides what you said earlier?
So, before you start your own foundation, there are lots of wonderful ways on how to structure giving. Now, you can start writing your checks, typically at the end of the year before, you know, as I say, it's kind of, there's a tax incentive way that you can write it off your taxes. And so you can just make some donations. Beyond that, there are some wonderful vehicles that I have developed. You know, if you live in the US, for example, there are ways on what we call a donor advised fund, a DAF, where you can, you know, also give money away where not directly it has to go to an organization, but you're already, in a sense, getting a tax credit for it. But and it's almost like it's given it, so it's away, but then you can still designate into what kind of organizations do you want to support. And you know, I know families who, you know, specifically when you have a liquidity event, you do that, and then you can disperse the money over some time. It doesn't need to be immediately. Now, the later step is where you put together a family foundation, or, you know, foundation where you say, you know, we're we're moving into Let's say a whole nother level of giving. Now, here's the beautiful thing also with a foundation. You can actually also under the foundation register investments and companies. And so even the proceeds of these businesses are going into the foundation and feeding them. So I have actually set up a number of entities under our family foundation where the money generated doesn't go into my personal net worth. It actually feeds into the foundation. And so the foundation then has more resources to disperse. So I'm a German lawyer by training and background. So, you know, if I can give you all the, let's say, technical lawyer answers to that. But it's a wonderful way on how to cleverly structure your business activities if you also want to be philanthropic.
Thank you. Would you say that being philanthropic has helped you business-wise in terms of like generally to become a lot more successful, to close million-dollar deals, to attract the kind of high-caliber, very influential deals that you wouldn't get otherwise through being philanthropic, through spirituality, through faith in yourself or a different mindset? What would you say were the things that helped you the most in becoming so successful in what you do?
Yeah, so I haven't looked at philanthropy as a way to build my business, to be honest. I know there are some people who, you know, like to write checks in order to please other people. This is not my way. I look at what needs are there and how do they connect to me and our family and our mission and what we want to see achieved, and then we give. So I'm not using it as a tool in a sense. And I would actually tell any business person, you know, don't use it as a tool. Manipulate your way into, you know, nonprofit world and build yourself favors. I mean, money can move a lot of things, but as I say, I don't come from to me it comes from my background, and also as I say, a heart posture. Now we have a Christian background as a family, so we've always believed that, you know, we've been blessed by God in a way, and now it's our job to bless others, or, you know, and so you know, to care for my neighbor, whether that is a refugee or whether that is a homeless person or whether that is a prostitute down the street. You know, I think this is part of what we're called to do.
Thank you. What I meant was actually that, you know, did you find that your philanthropic efforts, in a sense, like the fact that you were spreading love and joy to people, that's the kind of like foundation that helped you to be successful, and from an energetic perspective, because it kind of like builds almost like great karma points, for lack of a better phrase. Yes. That's what I meant.
Okay. So I'm sorry if I didn't understand you correctly here, Lily. Yeah, 100%. I also am against a compartmentalization of your life, so to speak. I know some people, let's say if they're religious, you know, I don't know, they go to church on Sunday, but then the rest of the week they do whatever else they want to do, and then it's kind of blocked off. Or family is over here, and now for me, I try to live an integrated life, which means my family, my faith, my spirituality, my business, my philanthropy. It's all one. I don't try to divide any of that up. I try to, you know, in a sense, live holistically. And so I would say, yes, one feeds the other. Sometimes my family gives me the energy for business. And, you know, the business gives me, you know, more resources for philanthropy. And my faith is a motor to kind of, you know, to see things develop. So I would say it's actually a bad way to compartmentalize.
Thank you. What are your 10 commandments for someone who wants to build an impactful foundation that impacts thousands of people? Is there anything you haven't already said that you find is so important, either from a values perspective that you need to have as a person, or from building the foundation as a business that impacts thousands of people?
So I'm actually involved with lots of families, kind of, and helping them on structuring that and actually guiding their philanthropic efforts. And there are a few different things that are very important. First of all, it needs to be connected somehow to your history and your values, you know, your own biography. I've seen the best philanthropy really comes out of something out of your childhood, something out of your family, something out of your country that you just feel personally attached to or want to see something change. And so that is more, instead of just kind of, you know, watching TV and just kind of or going on the internet and searching randomly, I would really say it's always make it personal. Okay, number one. Number two, I would say don't make it as an individualistic effort. Actually see whether you can make it a family thing. So if you're married, you know, with your spouse, with your partner, with your kids, it's a wonderful discussion actually around dinner table, kind of what do we want to support? What are we passionate about as a family? I've taken my kids all over the world. Like, you know, I remember my middle son, Alfonso, I've taken him with me to Lebanon, to Beirut, and we've supported some refugee camps and helped build a school there. I've taken my son, Carlos, with me to South Africa and to the DRC. I've taken my son, Cedric, with me to Singapore and Asia. Anyhow, so even us as a family doing something together. So that's another very important thing for me that you need to take into account. And then, what problem do you want to solve? And so listen, that's where I would say, even like as business people, we're very, you know, customer oriented. You know, you want to create products that people actually buy. And in philanthropy, you want to give money that actually solves a problem. And so your giving should actually have some goals that you want to achieve, you know, through your giving. One of the, let's say, secrets within philanthropy is that oftentimes it's just measured by how much money is given away. You know, so and so just wrote a $10 million check to university, and then you're in the newspaper. But the more important thing really is that if you give your, you know, what do you want to achieve if you give $10 million away? So thinking through that.
Thank you. So I come from a family where I used to stay with my grandma every summer. She used to beat me every day from 4 years old until 18. And I never considered creating a foundation, but I do know that, for example, from maybe 7 years ago, I started speaking around the world about publishing and branding and so on. But I find that the thing I keep coming back to is that I keep meeting extraordinary, visionary entrepreneurs like you. And I find that to be a very inspiring experience. And I'm learning so much from people like you. And I'm wondering, for example, for a person that wants to create a foundation that is very much connected to their background and their issue, their trauma that they have experienced in childhood, for example, how would they start, how would they attract the kind of funding required to run this foundation that impacts thousands of people?
Well, Lily, first of all, I'm very sorry to hear about your upbringing there and background and the trauma that it comes with it. And there's probably a lot more for you to say around that and kind of how that also affects, you know, how you do business and how you do life. Let me tell you a very personal story. So years ago, I was at my office in Frankfurt, Germany, and a young woman came into my office and she told me about that she actually has a heart for women who are being sex trafficked and trapped into prostitution. And she told me about it, and the reason she was so touched by that and she wanted to get involved with women is because she had an abuse background as a child as well. And so she wanted to work in the red light district of Frankfurt. Now, my office was very close to that, and so someone had put her in touch with me. She was sitting there across the desk. I'd never thought about this. I'd never, you know, been to a brothel in my life, but I could imagine that there's a lot of trauma in these women's lives. Anyhow, to make a long story short, I said, hey, I you know, it's not my story, but, you know, I want to help. And so I helped, you know, give some structure, some leadership, some resources and helped her. Now, to make a long story short, this has developed into the largest ministry against sex trafficking and prostitution in Germany. It has a bunch of people employed. There are about 200 women every week that go into brothels to visit with prostitutes and help them get connected to social services and, you know, take care of their families and kids and so forth. I'm still the chairman of the board of that organization. Now, I've never worked and done anything in that really, because it's a pure women's ministry helping women. But I've helped, in a sense, structure something. So I don't think you always have to connect to your own, let's say, your own topic. But you can also support, like when you're affected by someone you get to know, or and kind of back to your question, how do you start? Well, you start by sharing. I mean, this woman was very brave. She shared her story with me. She knocked on my door. She sat at my desk, and then she was actually willing to go and do something about it. And I felt like, wow, I mean, that's very brave. I want to support.
Thank you. How do you become a great storyteller for the kind of story that you want to tell when you're building a foundation that impacts thousands of people? Because I find that when you can express and communicate the story in a very impactful, concise, and at the same time touching way, that's when you can raise millions. And often when you don't manage to be concise, when you don't manage to kind of reach the hearts of people, you are not so successful. So what would you say is so important when you tell the story of the foundation you want to create?
So everything that you probably speak about when it comes to marketing and branding, in the business world, we're very used to that because, you know, we want people to buy our products, and we know, and we've all gone to business school and kind of heard, you know, you need to build a brand, you need to put out your message, you need to come a slogan, you need to create some compelling story behind that. Now, I would say that the same effort that you need as a business to be successful in that is actually what you need also in philanthropy. If you want to rally a cause, then you need to work on this. I remember years ago, I saw a video by an organization called Charity Water, and they were building wells in Africa, mainly Africa, for people who don't have access to clean drinking water. And they did it in such a compelling way. It was a video of the founder and how he stumbled over there, and how people in Africa walk for miles to get access to clean drinking water. And it was such visual, like, you know, so that I even though I'd never thought about the whole, you know, process and so forth, I got so excited. I invited a whole bunch of friends. I donated my birthday, basically. You know, I got people, instead of giving me gifts, to have a birthday party. And a long story short, we sponsored two wells in Africa, in northern Ethiopia and Tigray, to help. And it was because of great storytelling and great images and making it visual. I would say that the same that we learn on the business side is also applicable in philanthropy.
Thank you. How did you awaken the titan within so you can be the kind of man, the kind of titan that builds a foundation, that has the courage to impact tens of thousands of people?
I would connect it to my family upbringing. So when I was a teenager, I was raised in a very religious home. We didn't go to church or anything, but we had this connection with my grandparents in Africa, kind of being in service of you know, churches and helping so much, and that kind of stirred some thinking in me. And so I just kind of went on a spiritual search, kind of, you know, what do I believe is true, what is meaning. I studied all kinds of philosophies, some Eastern religions and so forth, and I really was I would say as a teenager I really asked some big questions around life, and then kind of found my way that you know, from all the philosophers and teachers, Jesus was the one that kind of surprised me the most, not just what he taught, but also how he lived and what he's done.
Thank you. How do you rebuild your inner world energetically in a way that you have the courage and the determination and the power to move forward in business and in building a foundation that impacts thousands of people, considering that you may experience failure, blocks, resistance from different people, judgment, your own self-judgment, especially if you come from an environment where, let's say, your family is unsupportive, or your family says, oh, who do you think you are? Or your family says, oh, you're stupid, you're never going to do this, or you never do this, or you've never done that. Who says that you're going to be anyone?
Yes, good question. I think there are lots of ways on how we could answer that. But I would say for myself, I've developed some practices that just help me build this inner strength. And so one of them comes out of the Jewish tradition, which is that the Jews observe the Sabbath. Now, I don't have a Jewish background, but if you've ever been to Israel and Jerusalem, you kind of observe that on Friday evening, the whole thing shuts down. And Saturday is like, you know, no cars around, no shops are open. It's like the whole country just goes down to zero. Now, and they observe the Sabbath, with it's one day is the day of rest, and literally, you know, no emails, no communication, no meetings, no business. The wives at home are not allowed to cook. It's a family time, and so forth. Now, I in a world that never ends, never stops. One of the habits that I kind of developed 15, 20 years ago is that literally I take that so literally, even though I'm not Jewish, but that one day a week, I totally unplug myself and I don't have any meetings. I don't travel. I literally stay put. It's almost like a day to become human again. And, you know, as I'm very much out doing lots of things, that's one of my practices that have helped me keep my sanity.
Thank you. How does someone build a foundation that impacts tens of thousands of people, considering you need to raise funds for that? And sometimes it doesn't work.
It's just like in business. I mean, there's lots of business ventures that we put out there and they don't work. Or, you know, you keep trying. You keep trying. You have to build that inner strength to keep trying and keep putting yourself out there. So, you know, I've done a lot of things where I felt like at that time, like, this is not successful. This is not getting me anywhere. But you keep going. You keep trying.
Thank you. How do you motivate a large team to continue working and to continue working where perhaps they're not getting paid as much as you would like to pay them because you can't afford to at the moment? How do you motivate them to kind of stay engaged and to stay engaged, especially because perhaps they're never going to get paid what they're worth because they're doing work for the people? They're doing work for the
that. No, yeah. So I've led entire organizations where actually, if you looked at the pure pay, it wasn't great. So that question really, you know, I've lived through that. If you keep the vision and the mission high, which is changing people's lives through what you do on the nonprofit side, that just resonates so deeply with us as human beings. You know, it's actually a big flaw within the business world that we're only motivated by money. It's not the case. You know, most of us are not motivated by money. Well, it's nice if we don't, let's say we can cover our bases. But beyond that, there are a lot of other things as a business owner or as a boss we can do to actually foster an environment where people like to work, where it's meaningful to contribute, where the culture is uplifting, and where you're seeing results in people's lives. And if you keep that front and center, so, you know, one of the things I remember is that I would always do within the organization is that, you know, once a week would have 1 hour of a staff meeting where we basically share stories on what's happening, you know, and how, you know, how we're making an impact, what good stories can we share, and that would build morale and momentum and give leadership to the group.
Thank you. Should everyone have a foundation that impacts thousands of people, or should people just consider having like an element of giving in their business?
Well, depending on your country, a foundation can be a little bit too expensive to run. There are wonderful ways on how to give towards other nonprofits, you know, to start off with. So it's different stages in your, let's say, in your development of the business, but also your net worth. So you don't have to start off with a foundation, no.
Thank you. What kind of level of wealth should someone consider starting a foundation that impacts thousands of people? Like, how many figures are we talking?
So probably when you're above 5 million, I would consider starting.
Thank you. Tell us where investors and entrepreneurs worldwide can connect with you. so they can find out more information about building a foundation that impacts thousands of people.
So my big passion is to help entrepreneurs and business owners kind of work on their legacy. And part of that is philanthropy. Today, we already talked lots about the philanthropic side, but you know, my main occupation is that I'm an investor, and I wrote a couple of books kind of to help business leaders based on the Medici family, which was this old Renaissance family from Italy. I wrote a book on Cosimo de' Medici and Lorenzo de' Medici. And on the website medicilegacy.com is kind of where you find a whole bunch of information on kind of what we do. So I take families with me, business owners, to Italy, and we have a conference here on the island of Mallorca. There's there's meetups around the world in different cities where we come together, almost like a learning group, to kind of learn from each other. Now there are, because at the family office level, there are also lots of very wealthy families, but there are also kind of entrepreneurs who are really trying to make, an impactful business and create a family that supports that.
Thank you. Tell us about your book, Get Your House in Order and From Success to Significance. What are these books about, and what can investors and entrepreneurs learn from them?
So Cosimo de' Medici is kind of the founding patriarch of the Medici family. He started, his dad actually started the Medici Bank. He made it successful. But in 500 years ago, this was probably the wealthiest man in Europe, Cosimo de' Medici. They created a banking empire in Florence, Italy, and then all over Italy, but then also France and Switzerland, all the way up to London, England. And I always thought he's just purely great on the business side until I studied him more and discovered that he actually had the different spheres of his life in order, so his family life and kind of how he was impactful in the community and so forth. Anyhow, I had a lot of fun. I studied some art history and I did lots of trips over to Italy. And then I thought, man, most of these books written on the Medici family are written by art historians, but the Medici family was a business family. So I pinned down some leadership lessons and principles for us entrepreneurs. And just now I published a book on Lorenzo de' Medici, which is the grandson of Cosimo. He discovered Michelangelo. He supported Botticelli, and he really, let's say, thought a little bit deeper about wealth and meaning. And so I termed the book, How Do You Go From Success to Significance.
Thank you. Tell us where entrepreneurs can connect with you. What's your website or your links?
Medicilegacy.com. Medicilegacy.com. There's some links and profiles where you can get in touch with me. Yeah.
Thank you.
Follow us for more interviews with world's most influential business titans, providing you with the insights to awaken to your full potential so you can get paid to be yourself, find true happiness, and manifest anything you desire.